I do want to end the show. I always end the show with a couple quotes, and I want to dedicate this one to my father. Today's his birthday. My father would have been 86 today, and he's been gone, you know, and he's near and dear to my heart, never far from my thoughts, and it seems like he'd be 86, and he died at, was 79, he fell down the stairs and got sick, but he was, you know, it was very quick once he fell, but he was sharp as a tack to the end, and he is who I look up to, and I always measure myself against him, and I never measure up in my mind, but so today is his birthday, and my sister put something up on Facebook, she's always mushy that way, but it brings a tear to my eye, and I miss him dearly. I mean, I'm a junior, and they called him Big Larry and me Little Larry, which was kind of like little John, you know. And because my father was, you know, wasn't a small man, but he wasn't a big man like me. But so I dedicated to him today. But the other thing is, the quote for today is: it's important. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And that came from The Rock.
Right.
That love came from it. The Rock, and I thought that was a great saying because nice is a neat word, you know.
Yes.
So we'll close on that, and we'll let the next show get in here because we're taking up his time here. But thank you guys, and have a great week, and we'll see you next. It's Friday. Next Friday we're on, but the Friday after is 4th of July, so we only have one show, then we have a week off. So enjoy the weather this weekend, and get out there and enjoy it, guys. And happy hunting, man. Have a great day. Thanks.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Texas will be deploying 1,000 National Guard troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. This is all being done to address a surge of illegal aliens and assist the federal government with border security efforts. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott says the deployment is supposed to help with the humanitarian crisis, but then also says Congress needs to do more to set aside funding for resources at the border.
Every child who's not being taken care of adequately at the border, Congress is an accomplice to any harm they suffer.
President Trump on why he decided to call off the airstrike against Iran.
Here we are sitting with 150 dead people that would have taken place probably within a half an hour after I said go ahead. Yeah. And I didn't like it. I didn't think it was proportionate.
That audio courtesy of NBC's Meet the Press, that entire interview will air this Sunday. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or pay back loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The FAA has barred all U.S. registered aircraft from operating over parts of the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman due to heightened tensions between Washington and Tehran. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
The warning from the Federal Aviation Administration will have an impact on hundreds of flights over the Middle East. I spoke to Captain Ross Amer of Aerial Aviation Consulting, who tells us the area of concern is a major airway.
Iran is basically a bridge between East and West. Now there are airways, as we call them, that fly over Iran itself and the Persian Gulf, connecting basically Europe and Far East.
For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
One of President Trump's major proposals to lower drug prices took a huge step forward on Friday. The Department of Health and Human Services sent to the White House for review a proposal to lower certain drug prices in Medicare by linking them to lower prices paid in other countries, an idea called the International Pricing Index.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
More moms-to-be in the U.S. are using marijuana, especially during their first trimester. That's according to a new study that was published earlier this week. Fox News medical contributor Dr. Nicole Sapphire explains more and goes into a little bit more detail on that study.
So this is a really large survey that just was presented earlier this week. They polled about 500,000 women, talked about, did you use marijuana during pregnancy? And if you did, was it for medicinal use or recreational use? Now, as you notice, we went from 3 to 7% who said that they actually used marijuana during their pregnancy. Most interesting was most of them were using it in their first trimester, which is really important for fetal development. Of them, they said 0.5% actually told them that their doctor told them to take it. I'm not so sure about that. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists are absolutely against marijuana, so I don't know which doctors they're talking about. The problem with these studies are they are exposed to a lot of bias, specifically recall bias, because what are you doing? You're just asking women, right? You have to depend on them telling you, one, if they use marijuana, and two, how much of it they use and what their reasons were.
Sapphire was speaking there on Fox News. And finally, a couple of UFOs over Kansas City Thursday sparked an explosion of speculation. The two orbs were seen as high as a city, and guesses ranged from aliens to weather balloons. It turns out they were balloons launched from Maryland by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Well, good afternoon, and I'm going to be very pleased to say that I have a guest today, our own Bill Wolfson. But before we do that, let's actually talk about the weather. Can you believe sun? We know this morning it was raining, but sun this afternoon. However, there's actually, although it's mostly cloudy, they've talked about the possibility of some bad weather, but not really. Actually, tonight's supposed to be mostly clear. Tomorrow, high of about 81 degrees and sunny. Tomorrow night, clear. Sunday, sunny, 85 degrees. Can you believe it? Partly cloudy Sunday night. And then Monday, mostly sunny. And then a chance of showers. 85 degrees Monday night, chance of thunderstorms. So really, this may be the first weekend, not only the first weekend of the summer, but the first weekend of good weather. So let's give you a couple sponsors, and then we'll come back. And I am actually going to interview my friend Bill Wolfson, who is an absolute expert on a number of things. We know he's an expert on sports, but he's also an expert on bankruptcy, and I do have some questions.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber, As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Good afternoon. The program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits, and those of you who know me know that I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County, and I practice pretty much all over the state. My practice is devoted to family law matters, and but the interesting thing, I actually have a guest today, and I don't think his clients want to see him, or most of his clients want to see him, any more than my clients want to see me, because I handle family matters, especially bankruptcy. I'm not the one who handles bankruptcy. I handle the people who may end up going into bankruptcy after their divorce. But I handle divorce cases, and Bill handles bankruptcy. So, Bill, I don't think most of your clients want to see you either.
Well, actually, my clients do want to see me, particularly when they begin to feel the hot and sweaty breath of their creditors on their necks, or they're worried about losing a house, or they just can't seem to figure out how to get out of a mess. And we use the bankruptcy code because it's such a powerful tool, such a powerful body of laws that it gives us a tremendous amount. Tools, weapons, if you want to call them that, arrows in our quiver to solve real, genuine human problems and also business problems. Additionally, we help people purchase property, real estate, machinery, equipment, licenses, software from companies that have gone bankrupt, and we want to be sure that those transactions go well and are not undone. I see that you have here the New Jersey Lawyer magazine devoted entirely to bankruptcy that a number of my colleagues submitted articles to. That's very interesting reading.
It actually was, even for me, and that's one of the reasons that I thought it was time to get you on to talk about. There's so many areas in bankruptcy, and one of the things that I recognize is that people handling, attorneys handling my type of cases, usually don't know anything about bankruptcy, and frankly, we do need to know something. Now, I know enough to never file a bankruptcy petition.
Well, that's unfortunate because I think of bankruptcy as the most interesting area of the law because it pulls from so many different public policies and concepts and human needs. Bankruptcy is especially interesting to me because although it's statutory law, the legislation put on the books by Congress and signed into law by a U.S. president, our Supreme Court says, our federal Supreme Court says, let's make this really interesting. Let's go and look at state law to determine property rights. Because in bankruptcy, usually people file because they want to protect property or they have an interest in property, and we have to they may want to take away from somebody who's filed bankruptcy, say with a foreclosure or a car repossession, are the two most popular examples or common examples. So we have to look to state law as an addition to bankruptcy law in order to figure out what to do. And this creates some very interesting splits of opinion or differences of opinion, sometimes between the same bankruptcy judges at different ends of the corridor in the same courthouse, or, if it goes up on appeal, the U.S. District Court judges sitting perhaps in the same federal courthouse or perhaps in two different ones, perhaps in Newark
in Camden, and in Trenton. And when you get into the complex area of condominium lien law, something I'm writing a brief on right now, in a Chapter 13 case, we have some tremendous differences of opinion as to what should happen when you owe money to your condominium association or if you're a condominium association lawyer trying to collect money.
Okay, so let's back up. So there would be two types of clients that you might represent in that type of a case.
Either
you might,
debtor or creditor.
And the debtor would be the person
who owns the property who's filed bankruptcy
and who also hasn't paid their condo dues, even if they've paid their mortgage and even if they've paid their real estate taxes, they may just have not paid their condo dues.
Right. Now, the Condominium Act that we have in New Jersey says that if you put it in your bylaws, that the condominium and association and your master deed, which creates the condominium, brings it nonprofit corporation into being, what happens is that if somebody doesn't pay their fair share of plowing the snow off the street or mowing the grass or fixing the road or making sure there are lifeguards at the community pools or that the tennis courts are safe and the lights go on at night, you can file what's called a lien against them by filing it with the county clerk, just like a mortgage. And the property owner, the unit owner, or condo owner has to pay it where you get the lien because then they can't sell their house. Additionally, an association.
Well, let's just wait a minute. So obviously, there would be a lien against the condo, and if the condo owner is trying to sell it, then they'd have to pay off that lien as part of the closing.
That's right.
But what if they say, I don't care, I'm going to live here for the next 20 years? What next? But let me just, okay, let me play devil's advocate. Well, let me play, before that, let me play devil's advocate. How could they, and what could they do if they say, fine, you can't park here? I mean, what can they do to the person legally?
Now, sometimes they will tow cars, which one of the associations I represent has done in the past. They do it on notice. They tell people it's going to happen. Don't park there. You lost your parking privilege. And the cars get towed. And
they can legally do that.
They can legally do that.
And they have to give some kind of notice.
Sell the property or foreclosure sale on July 12th, too. I'm going to be doing exactly that up in Essex County for somebody who owes an association I represent about $15,000,
$20,000. So there, no. All right, let's assume, and since you're going to do that, and if they sell the property, what happens if this property is mortgaged? I'm assuming that your lien is not superior to the mortgage or a tax lien.
We are only, for mortgages, condos are only have 6 months priority over the mortgage, so only 6 months worth of dues. and then the mortgage comes in again, and then after the mortgage would be paid in full, the association has another lien. And that creates some interesting things for us in the wonderful world of bankruptcy.
Well, I want to be sure I understand this. So actually, are you saying that the
super priority.
They have a super priority, so if somebody is paying their mortgage or not paying their mortgage, the condo association has 6 months of dues that take priority over the mortgage.
That's right. And after the mortgage is paid in full, the association will get the rest of the money. So very often people will come up with the money to pay the condominium dues sooner or later, or work something out, or maybe you get a wage garnishment, take some money out of their pay. And these are all complexities that we have. But I wanted to talk about the impact of bankruptcy, particularly
good.
On condominium associations and their liens. And I've been on both sides of this. I've represented condo owners and groups of them. When the association or the builder-developer has gone into bankruptcy and we had to help build out the project, or when we needed to deal with the failed builder's bank, or when the builder failed, and then during the S&L crisis, the bank failed.
Oh.
We had to deal with the Resolution Trust Corporation, or with the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or the U.S. Treasury and the Attorney General's Deputy Attorney General or Assistant Attorney General's assigned to represent them. Once a builder developer or an association finds itself in a bankruptcy proceeding, the universe changes. I think computer guys or math guys and gals call it a paradigm shift. But now there are other competing interests other than pay the money. In one case we had many, many years ago in Mercer County, the FDIC ended up owning the condominium and the unbuilt units and the streets and the roads. There were about 100 property owners who formed their own group, came to me and said, what can we do? We need to get our streets paved. We need to get our swimming pool put in, and we need to get our street lights up. Association pointed out that in their documents the builder had promised to do this, and we were able to find some language in the loan documents that this failed bank had given to the builder, and with part of their agreement, the bank had the duty to draw on what were called construction bonds, insurance policies in effect, to require that the property, to spend the money to require the property be built out. Well, after the builder failed, the bank failed. And when the bank failed, the federal government agencies stepped in, like the Office of Thrift Supervision, the FDIC, or any of a number of other alphabet soup agencies that the federal government had. I forget which one we were dealing with. But I ended up in the bankruptcy court having filed a motion to compel the successor to the lender, a government agency, to, I think it might have even been the Small Business Administration, to draw on the performance bonds that the builder had paid for so that there would be enough money so that we could finish paving the streets, putting in the sidewalks, putting in the street lamps, and putting in the swimming pool. We want every issue except the swimming pool because that didn't directly affect the health, safety, and welfare. And eventually, when the government agency sold the unbuilt units, we were able to get the bankruptcy judge to order that the successor builder had to install these public benefits.
So in this case, you were hired by condo owners. And let me just step back. It seems to me that what happened as far as their legal fees, now you had 100 condo owners at that point, but ordinarily, what would you suggest? I'm kind of taking you away from that, but what do you suggest that someone who's purchasing a condo, what do they need to do? What I would tell them is they absolutely need a lawyer to do that kind of a transaction. But what else would you tell them to do? Can an ordinary real estate attorney do that?
I think an ordinary real estate attorney can certainly get you good title to your unit, get you all of your rights of ownership and things like that. But there's something else that's very important here. And we saw this here in New Jersey, and we also saw it in a condo or a community-heavy state like Florida. I don't practice law in Florida, so I can only tell you anecdotally what I've heard. One of the things I always am interested in is whether or not a condominium association that I'm about to buy into or I'm a client to buy into is financially stable.
And how does the potential buyer find that out?
Well, you call the association management company, you ask for the budget, you ask for the bylaws, and maybe you'll a balance sheet, because remember, most of these associations are non-profit corporations, and they all need to keep financial books and records, particularly if they're handling other people's money, which they do you know, pay to have the grass cut or the pool maintained or the snow plowed. And you can see whether they're running at a deficit, whether they have enough money in reserve to cover emergencies such as Hurricane Sandy decides to blow a bunch of roofs off or light poles down or trees to block roads. And all those other things that we, you know, as homeowners, we worry about only if it looks like it's going to happen. Roofs get blown off in Hurricane Sandy. I was fortunate mine didn't. I put a new roof on about 2 months before. Lucky me. Number two could be that if you have more unit owners not paying their dues than pay, then you may be reluctant to buy in. Why? Because you may not be able to get government-backed insurance through HUD, through the FHA, or some of these other organizations. So it becomes very important to look at the solvency of the homeowners. One of the things that's also very exciting to me, I find this a very interesting problem, and I guess when lawyers find things interesting, it's sort of like when certain doctors find things interesting that nobody else would really want to find interesting, but if you have that problem, you're glad they went to med school and decided to spend their career helping people get better because of this problem. But moving right along from the vulgar to the legalistic, let's talk about homeowner association dues and bankruptcy in Chapter 13. Chapter 7. Chapter 13 is a wage earner's plan, or for people with regular sorts of income who want to keep their home and get back on their feet financially. So they get caught up on their mortgage over 5 years, they get caught up on their homeowner association dues over the same period of time, perhaps. But what if the house is not worth what they owe on it? Well, and what if their homeowner association dues have that first priority for the first 6 months of dues, and then they have to step behind the mortgage company? So if we have a house that's worth $150, there's $200 owed on the mortgage, there's $1,500 owed on the condo dues that get priority, and there's $10,000 owed on the condo dues beyond that first 6 months of priority. What happens? How do you put together a plan? Well, one of the interesting things is that our bankruptcy code, particularly in Chapter 13, says that you have a right to look at a claim and decide whether it is secured, meaning it's backed by some values and collateral, and to how much, and to the extent that it's not, and to the extent that it's a lien that you agreed to called a security interest or a consensual lien. It's like a plain old garden variety mortgage. How do you deal with that in bankruptcy? Well, if it's a debt that you agreed to and it's on your principal residence, Congress has given mortgage lenders special protection in the changes of the Bankruptcy Code in 1994. And what happened was that they said you can't reduce the amount you owe on a mortgage if it's secured only by your principal residence. Vacation home, well, that's a free-for-all. If it's secured by your house and your pet parrot, that just happens to have learned to talk like a lawyer, well, then you may be able to reduce what you owe to the bank to secure debt. And unsecured debt, just big pennies on the dollar of unsecured debt.
So, Bill, are you saying that it's better for someone who has a vacation home to get into trouble than someone who has their own principal residence?
It's more likely that you'll be required to sell the vacation home or give it up in order to preserve your main house. And quite frankly, it's not fair to creditors for you to keep owning two homes. Unless, of course, it's income producing and you can turn a profit on it that's meaningful to help pay your creditors back. But
wait a minute. So there... But are they, if your only home is a vacation home, are you saying that someone might not have to pay the full mortgage, but in fact on a principal residence they have to, irrespective of the current market value of the house?
Well, if it's your principal residence, and if the debt is secured only by a mortgage on your principal residence, you've got to pay it all back unless the bank agrees otherwise.
Hmm. And let's do that. We're just going to play a couple.
Let's play some commercials and talk about the weather.
And then we'll, we don't need to talk about the weather, but we will definitely play some spots, and then we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber, As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back. I'm Pat Smits, and my guest today is Bill Wolfson, and he's talking about bankruptcy, especially with condos. And it's a very specialized area, but I think that anyone who's living in a condo should have some idea. And, of course, condo owners and associations, they have other problems. But let's get back. And, Bill, what else are you going to tell us about bankruptcy and condos?
Well, I enjoy this subject.
Only you.
But the rest of you wake up, because now we'll get to the important stuff. If you find yourself having to file a bankruptcy at Chapter 13 and you want to keep your house by curing the past due payments on the mortgage, you get 5 years to do it. But if you have also condominium liens that have been filed against you, our judges in New Jersey all have different opinions what should be done, and I'm working on one of those cases right now where my clients have a house that's underwater. They owe more on it than it's worth. They have about 8,000 or 9,000 condo liens. The liens have been filed. The liens are also been reduced to a judgment right down here in the Clarion County Courthouse here in downtown Flemington. And we have judges who have very different opinions, both in the bankruptcy court and at the first level of appeal in the United States District Court for the District of New Jersey. Some of our judges say that you can't affect a condominium lien at all, because it is a lien created by agreement and it's technically what's called a security interest. The security interest is just like the lien on your car. The lien on your house. You made an agreement to buy the house or buy the car. You borrowed some money. You shook hands with a friendly banker, and you gave the money to the seller, and you're going to live happily ever after until it hits the fan. Then, when you buy a condominium.
So, wait a minute. So, with that group of judges, they would say it's like a car, and you're going to have to pay off the condo lien.
Right.
Is that right?
Other judges say is part of the conditions for getting a Chapter 13 plan of repayment approved by a bankruptcy judge. The process is called confirmation. And the judges look at Bankruptcy Code Section 1122B2, because that says you can't modify a security interest distinction between lien, which is statutory, meaning it arrives by a matter of law, because the legislature says so, and they put the law on the books, and liens that arise by an agreement, a consensual lien. So either the lien is a voluntary one, because you, nobody has to buy a condominium or a house, you could live happily ever after as a tenant or in a tent or what have you. And then there are statutory liens, which the legislature or Congress put on the books. One example of a statutory lien is a lien for your property taxes if you're a homeowner. Another one is if you take your car to a garage and the mechanic fixes it, you sign a little form before the mechanic starts to fix it, saying, I give you permission to work on the car and I grant you a mechanic's lien in my car to secure my paying you when I come to pick up the car. Because mechanics are like everybody else. They work hard. They are skilled. They are in the trade or profession of fixing cars or trucks, and just like everybody else, they've got bills to pay too. So that's a statutory lien. Because the legislature has put on the books in New Jersey statutes condominium liens, bankruptcy judges and now U.S. District Court judges, wise, learned people, very experienced in the law, they wouldn't get where they were, smart people, disagree as to how to interpret things. And you can go from one end of the corridor in the courthouse to the other, and the judges have all had different views.
But hasn't this gone up on appeal so that everyone has to follow whatever the Third Circuit or Second Circuit or Eighth Circuit has to say?
In our Third Circuit, which is New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, the Third Circuit, this issue has not reached the Third Circuit yet.
Really? Isn't that surprising to you?
It is. And remember that it's an important issue, and nobody knows where this is really going to go. Some judges, some of our bankruptcy judges have been reversed by the U.S. District Court judges who are the first level of appeal for different reasons other than is it a lien by consent or is it a lien by statute? And to make it more fun, sometimes...
So let's go back. If it's a lien by statute, then... And a lien, a voluntary lien cannot be.
Right. If it's secured only by your house. So the bankruptcy code says principal residence, and to me that means your house. Where you put your head on the bed every night, or for more nights than not. So what's a principal residence? Is it where you sleep for more than 5 days a year? Is it where you vote? Is it where you register your cars? Is it where you pay your taxes? We lawyers get to have a lot of fun with these things, unfortunately, at our clients' expense sometimes. On the other hand, we have judges who say, you know, if the association wants to have a money judgment, now we look at that magic word only in the statute in the bankruptcy code to secure only by a security interest in a principal residence. Well, now it's also secured by the money judgment, because when you get a money judgment here in Huntington County, the county courthouse, it becomes a lien, a whole real estate you own in the county, and if you go and file it down in Trenton with the judge that you mentioned in the Superior Court, it becomes a statewide lien on all of real property. And to make it even more certainly not voluntary, and to start the argument back where it began, you know, what's the genesis of this? It's a chicken egg argument. The genesis of any condominium lien is the fact that the legislature created a statute saying that condominium associations can bump condominium liens if the owner doesn't pay. So now we have a very interesting conundrum. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the legislature enabling associations to put a lien on your condo, or your association putting a lien on your condo when you don't pay them for a certain number of months? So the bankruptcy judges and the state court judges seem all to disagree on which way this issue should be decided. And associations take one position, and attorneys who represent the property owners or the homeowners take another position, and the judges have ruled differently on both sides of it. So it's one of the problems that people have when they go to see a lawyer and on one of these complicated issues is what people think the law is really very simple.
They do. They think it's black and white. We see that in every area of law. People will ask me, well, what's the law on that issue? And usually have to say it depends on many factors, including, as you said, often which judge is making the decision.
But it's very interesting. For most of the public who don't brush up against these problems, we know if the school bus is stopped and the red lights are on, we can't pass because we don't want to run over somebody's child. We also know that when we come up to one of those red signs that says stop at an intersection, we want to stop because the town didn't put it there for fun and the police aren't watching it just because they have nothing better to do. They want to be sure people drive safely and obey laws. So, as you correctly point out, it's never black and white.
Well, perhaps in those issues it is. But, for example, I often have to deal with custody and parenting time, and that is what is in the best interest of the child. Well, what's in the best interest of the child very often depends on the judge, the judge's views, and even though there are criteria that the judge has to use to make that determination, it's very easy, depending on what the judge finds, to go either way. So I think that's what you're saying, is that, you know, there is no consensus here. So you can't say, judge, here's a stop sign, here's the law, here's showing that this person did not stop. Yeah, or you parked and paid and it didn't take it, or the it was just absolutely, the machine is broken.
Right. Well, you know, and we have these fascinating issues. So, you know, it's sort of like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Nobody really knows the answer because I've never seen an angel. I don't know how big they are, but I've seen the heads of pins and they're not all that big.
Well, let me ask you, though, going back to how in the world is it that mortgagors, you know, can basically win every time on a mortgage when the mortgage lender, and any other contracts, people don't have that protection. I mean, people can file bankruptcy and, you know, get rid of a lot of debt.
Well, remember, mortgage lenders are part of the banking industry. The banking industry is heavily regulated and also heavily protected.
Well, absolutely. Aren't they protected, in other words, you know, there sounds to me like there's no protection against the person, you know, even if the house that they bought was defective and, you know, whatever. There's no protection. And why only 5 years? I mean, why wouldn't that seems to be unreasonable, because what you're telling me is that no matter what the amount of the mortgage, that the person in the Chapter 13 must show that they can pay it off in 5 years?
They must show that they can pay off what they're past due in 5 years.
Okay. So
not to pay off the mortgage in full in most cases, unless the mortgage falls due within that 5 years.
So when you're saying 5 years, you're saying if they owe $100,000, they have to show that they can continue paying the mortgage plus pay that $100,000 back in 5 years.
Well, exactly. What they have to do is they have to cure what's known as the mispayment or the default, and at the same time, they've got to make the regular monthly mortgage payment. So it's a little bit of a double whammy for a lot of people. That's why we have mortgage modifications sometimes. But remember, the banking industry also has very powerful lobbies. They have tremendous ability to influence legislature, Congress, the Senate, the state legislators, governors, you know, treasury officials, because they're an important industry. Remember, just like you can say lawyers are a necessary evil, just like doctors and surgeons are necessary evil, banking is also one of those necessary industries, which may not always be all that nice, but we do need money. We do need sometimes to borrow money. Sometimes we want to borrow money because we need a bigger place for our families to live.
But what about what about the situation? Will the bankruptcy court ever take a look at the claim, or do they just accept what the bank says is owed? I mean, at what point would they litigate if, let's say, the property owner says, wait a minute, I don't owe that amount of money? Is the bankruptcy court going to litigate, or are they just simply going to take whatever the bank says is owed?
Well, you always have the right to dispute what's called a proof of claim filed for bankruptcy. However, if the state court's already ruled that the amount due, then the bankruptcy judge has no authority to say how much is due or how much is not due, because that's not a bankruptcy issue. It's a state court issue. We call that a Rooker-Feldman problem. Rooker-Feldman, a pair of cases decided many years ago, both probably having nothing to do with bankruptcy, if I recall, but Rooker and Feldman were cases where people lost in state court. Or in the case of Feldman, he lost in the District of Columbia Court, which is a federal court, and wanted a federal court to review the decision. Now, in the absence of what's called a compelling federal interest, such as a civil rights violation, something that impacts on federal law other than property rights, bankruptcy courts have no power to affect that. Bankruptcy judges will look at you and say, gee, I'm sorry, but I don't have the power to deal with this. Go back to the state court. In effect, what they're saying is don't use the bankruptcy courts as a court of appeals, like the Superior Court of Appellate Division. If you don't like what a state court judge does in a foreclosure action, your remedy, your place to go and say, here's why this judge is wrong, is to the Superior Court of Appellate Division, where you usually get a panel of three judges. They'll listen to you. They'll ask you questions. They'll read the papers that have been submitted, the briefs, the certifications, and, you know, what went on in the court where you didn't like the ruling. And they'll make a decision as to whether the judge who made the initial ruling is right or wrong, or maybe they have some questions. They need that judge to go out and help sort out by having the parties come back in and talk about the case or have a trial.
So what happens if there would be a bankruptcy filed before a state court made a determination as to the amount due. Would the bankruptcy court make that decision, or would they send it back to the state court?
Well, it depends. It's like everything else in this world, doesn't it?
And that's really what I want.
If they haven't made that decision, if they haven't made the decision, say as to an amount due on a mortgage, well, that's up for grabs for the bankruptcy judge. The bankruptcy judge may say, I don't have the expertise to decide this. Take it back to the state court. Or they may say, I don't have the power to decide this, say, like in a personal injury action. And you either go to the state court or you go to the United States District Court to the District of New Jersey. Pat, I think we're about to run out of time.
I was just about to say that. So, folks, we'll come up next with a couple commercials. We'll come up with the news. And then what we will do is we'll get the sports guys on. So stay tuned.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump called off a military strike against Iran Thursday night, minutes before the strike was going to take place. Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger on what he would support as a response.
It's the size of basically an airliner that easily could have actually been a manned aircraft if misidentified with 30 people on board. It's a massive escalation, and I think warrants a proportional response.
Massive roundups of illegal alien families are set to begin on Sunday. ICE agents are targeting up to 2,000 families that have been slated for deportation in several big cities. Meanwhile, in Texas, Republican Governor Greg Abbott is sending more National Guard troops to the border.
They will be assisting at the holding facilities with regard to security for the facilities that involve single adults. Second, they will be working in assisting Border Patrol at ports of entry.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text FORCE to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text FORCE to 321321. That's F-O-R-C-E to 321321.
Prosecutors are reacting after a bombshell was dropped during the trial of a Navy SEAL accused of killing an ISIS fighter. With more, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Prosecutors are not dropping murder charges against a decorated Navy SEAL despite a surprise admission by another Navy SEAL that he was the killer. A prosecution witness at the trial of Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher testifying yesterday that Gallagher stabbed an injured ISIS fighter in 2017, but that other Navy SEAL, Corey Scott, says He suffocated the teenager afterwards, knowing he was going to die anyway. Prosecutors claim Scott only made the confession because he has immunity and doesn't want to see Gallagher going to prison.
President Trump is expected to nominate Army Secretary Mark Esper as Defense Secretary. A formal nomination could be sent to the Senate.